This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Coy Barefoot with you. This is Charlottesville Right Now on News Radio 1070 WINA. So glad you could be with us this afternoon. It's 58 degrees outside right now, and it's going to be another chilly, chilly evening. A mighty chilly weekend. That was actually a very cold weekend, wasn't it? I mean, wasn't that amazing how cold it was with the frost and everything?
It was bad, yeah.
Waldo Jakewith joins us in studio of Waldo.net, CVilleNews.com, and VAPoliticalBlogs.com. And also on the long line from working in Colorado as we speak, Sean Kenny of SeanKenny.com. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Coy?
I'm good. Now, refresh my memory here. What exactly are you doing in Colorado?
I'm running the campaign of Marilyn Musgrave as a representative in the 4th District of Colorado.
Wow. Well, there you go. That's great. And how does the campaign look?
Well, we're optimistic. We're working hard on the ground. Obviously, there's a lot more that needs to be done. There's only one poll that counts, and that's the one taken on Tuesday. So, we're not getting complacent. We're working just as hard as the good folks in Virginia are. So.
There you go. Sean Kenny of SeanKenny.com. And folks, that's SeanKenny. That's right. EY.com. And I'll say that again before we get out of here. Would love for folks to check out your blog. And Waldo, of course, is Waldo.net. Sean, let's start with you. Your take on the Virginia Senate race.
It's going to be a close one. obviously, you know, you go back 6 months ago, and I don't think anybody would have thought that it was going to be this close. Of course, given everything that's happened in between, say, you know, May and June to now, we can understand why it's close. This is going to become a referendum on George Allen's character. I believe that's what it boils down to, but I think if it does lean on those issues and it stays on the issue of George Allen, in my mind, at least, that still plays to the strengths of the Republican Party. I think that most people that are voting for George Allen are voting for his character. It's really the issues seem to have gotten lost in the background for one reason or another. But at the end of the day, I think that the vaunted Republican GOTV machine will do its best to reach into that poll. We've talked about this briefly. I don't believe the Survey USA poll by any stretch of the imagination. We can go into the numbers later on in the program, but there's no way that George Allen is down by 8 in Virginia of all places. Is it within the margin of error, perhaps? But this one's going to be close. This is not going to be an election that anybody should take for granted on either side of the aisle. This is one that both sides are going to have to go out and work hard for. But I think at the end of the day, what you're going to see is a George Allen victory.
And Waldo, your reaction to the Survey USA poll today, and your thoughts on the Virginia Senate race here in Virginia?
Of course, I'm a Democrat, so I want the results to be true. I have a hard time separating my desires from any sort of factual analysis. You know what I'm reminded of is a year ago now, when a poll was released by Survey USA showing in the governor's race, Jerry Kilgore against Tim Kaine. And, of course, Democrat Tim Kaine went on to win. It showed that Tim Kaine was up by something huge, like 6%. And we all said, man, we wish that were so, but there's no way. And they were right. Kaine won, by five points or something. And nobody else saw it coming. It was totally out of the blue. On the other hand, Survey USA is your basic robocall polling firm. I mean, I'm clouding judgment with what I want to be true. So the judgmental part tells me it's just too big of a poll, and they're just such a fly by night operation. I mean, compared to Gallup, for instance, who had results today that showed Allen up.
Yeah, is Sean right? Has this election become some type of referendum about George Allen's character?
I think he's absolutely right. And Sean, I got to say, I haven't heard anybody put it that bluntly, but I think you're spot on there. I feel kind of bad in one regard for George Allen, because so much of his character, this cowboy persona that he's adopted, is what Americans have so tired of with President Bush. And if it's a referendum on his character, I don't know if it's a great character for him to have chosen to have a referendum on.
I don't know if it's a referendum on his character, if it's a referendum in the style of cowboy hat. I do think that the choice that Virginia is going to get ready to make tomorrow is going to be entirely based on whether or not you believe what the Webb camp has unearthed or uncovered or dug up on George Allen, or you don't. Unfortunately, we could have had the debate on issues, it didn't happen. I think at the end of the day, that's really what this is going to boil down to, is George Allen's character. You know, do we believe that George Allen is a good man, or do we believe otherwise? Do we believe the allegations? Do we believe what certain of his colleagues have brought up and accused him of being? So, I hate to put it in blunt terms. I am, however, going to disagree on one point, though. I don't believe that SurveyUSA is a bad polling firm. I actually think that you can get accurate results out of an IVR response. I do question if you actually go into the poll and you compare it to the October 24th poll, what you'll see is an 8-point difference between the Republicans. I think it was something on the order of 42 down to 35% between the October 24th poll and the poll that was just released today. Versus Democrats, which actually got a 3-point bounce out of the number. So I'm not so sure it's a problem with SurveyUSA, at least robocalls. Because I think that's pretty accurate. I think what happened there was for one reason or another, and I'm sure SurveyUSA has their reasons, they undersampled Republicans and oversampled Democrats. Is that a sign of intensity? Perhaps. I don't know. Waldo accurately pointed out that SurveyUSA got the Tim Kaine Kilgore race right. That's certainly something to point to. Even a blind pig can find corn every once in a while. Twice in a row, however, if they're right on this one, and let's say Allen does go down by 8 points, I think SurveyUSA stock goes up tremendously. I don't know how they did it. I don't know what they're basing it on. Every single indication would lean towards, that an 8-point, loss by George Allen would be inconceivable. But that's a methodology at SurveyUSA I'm sure will be proud to explain if they are right come tomorrow.
We're talking with Sean Kenny of SeanKenny.com and Waldo Jakewith of Waldo.net. Waldo, we talked about this being a referendum on, and Charlie, we'll be right with you just a minute. We're talking about this being a referendum on George Allen's character. Is it not, for a lot of folks, a referendum about Jim Webb's character?
I don't think it is, and just because Jim Webb isn't really a major player in his own election in this race. It's a terrible thing for me to say as a Democrat, but the fact is that this race is about George Allen. I wish it were about Jim Webb. I think if it were a character competition between Jim Webb and George Allen, I'd like to think Jim Webb would win every time, but it's not. I think it's quite as Sean describes it.
Let's go real quick to the phones. Charlie is on the line in Albemarle County. Charlie, you're on with Sean and Waldo. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Hey, good work out there in Colorado. I believe your candidate's going to win. He deserves to win. I think that the big discussion is going to be in 48 hours is how did the professional media get this whole race so wrong? I think people are really going to be surprised. It's amazing. You can almost hear the pundits tell you what's going to happen by what they want to happen. And it's really quite shocking. The every poll comes out shows that majority of the media leans Democrats and wants the Democrats to win. So I just think sit back and watch. George Allen will win the state. I don't have any doubt in the world about that.
Charlie, thanks for the call. Sean, your comments?
Well, I, as a Republican, I agree with him wholeheartedly. I think that George Allen is, he's going to pull this one out. I believe that firmly. I believe that traditionally polls tend to undercount Republican turnout, whether or not you can attribute that to our GOTV program, whether or not that's because of liberal bias. I would like to think it's because we have such a great GOTV program rather than the bias of one or two pollsters. But I think Charlie has a point where, that there's a lot of pundits that want to see George Allen lose. I think there's a lot of folks that have been that have been harping on him for years in Virginia. He certainly is the top Republican in the Commonwealth, a presidential contender at that. I'm sure there's plenty of folks that would like to see him lose this election.
Let's go to Waldo. What's your thoughts to what Charlie said?
I never get tired of hearing how liberal the media is, just because as a Democrat, I've always found it funny. And I got to say,
because funny, because you don't think the liberals.
Well, no, it's so bizarre. Yeah, I mean, to Democrats, it sounds fairly unbelievable. But I got to say, if the media is liberal, I wish they'd do more of it, because Democrats aren't faring too well these days. But Maybe tomorrow.
We're talking with Sean Kenny of SeanKenny.com, talking to us on the long line where he is working on a campaign in Colorado. And Waldo Jakewith is in studio. Let's take a very quick break. Beth, hang on with me here for just a minute. And we'll be back with Hawes Spencer, who has a bit of a, well, a very real exclusive today on the Hook.net blog right here in Central Virginia. You're listening to Charlotte Show right now on News Radio 1070 WINA. Waldo, have you heard, is there anything coming out of the Democrats, especially locally, about, you know, like Jim Webb or Al Weed here, what they have to say about the war?
I'm still waiting to hear what Republicans are going to do. First, they weren't going to cut and run, and then they're not. Bush has banned the phrase cut and run. Now they're going to, I think the goal is to phase back troops. And it's my understanding that most Democrats seem to favor a more rapid phase out of troops in Iraq than Republicans do. I think the difference is in degree these days, not so much in kind.
So you think they're pretty much on the same page, Republicans and Democrats, at this point, that
Republicans
it's time to reevaluate what are we going to do and we need a new plan?
Well, I think Republicans have been coming around to the page Democrats have been on for a while, which is what's our exit strategy? And by the way, it's a civil war. But yeah, I do think the difference is in degree, not in kind.
Sean?
Well, I think Beth raises the correct question is, what is the Democratic plan? And at this point, we've heard more criticism than we have solutions. And the solution that the Republicans have applied so far has been to just remain committed to victory in Iraq. We cannot turn this nation over to terrorists. We cannot let it break itself apart. We cannot turn it into a Weimar Republic. It must be a principled and orderly withdrawal over time. Americans don't have any, the American government doesn't have any in any illusions of staying there for, 10, 20 years, the imperialism, what you would hear from the MoveOn.org crowd or some of the more radical bits. That's not what we were there to do. We were there to liberate a country and, remove it from the grasp of Saddam Hussein. Mission accomplished in that regard. Now we have to transition it to a democracy that all Iraqis can enjoy. The alternative to that, we don't know. Jim Webb hasn't articulated that vision, nor has Murtha, nor has Pelosi. John Kerry somewhat articulated his vision. He said he doesn't think our troops are smart enough to figure it out. But for one reason or another, what we hear more so is election year criticism rather than practical solutions that are going to work towards a free and democratic Iraq.
Hans Spencer joins us in studio, publisher, founder, and editor of The Hook newspaper at readthehook.com, and you spoke with Gail Forrail Parker today. Tell us about that conversation.
Well, if you didn't know who Gail Forrail Parker is, she's what you might call a one-issue candidate, but she informed me this morning that she's changed her issue from rail to fiscal responsibility. And
the day before the election?
That's it doesn't rhyme as well, does it?
Gail for fiscal responsibility.
No, that doesn't really.
But all I was trying to do this morning was put something up on the blog about her cute little radio ad that it's kind of a bluegrass ditty, kind of a jug band thing. It goes, let's vote for Gail. She's for light rail. And there's all kinds of cute harmonies. I really think it's the best political ad ever. It's positive. It's uplifting. And you can sing it in the shower, or you can sing it with friends. You can sing it with friends. In the shower, really any kind of anything you want to do.
Media.
And you can hear it. You can hear it at the Hook blog.
You can. The Hook.net has a copy of it. MP3. Click on it. It is so good. But she said that she's throwing some support to Jim Webb. She had just finished up a web appearance this morning at a Roanoke fire station, and Larry Sabato said that could be sort of a big deal because when it's election eve, even the tiniest little piece of news in a very tight race can create what he calls a bandwagon effect. Although my colleague here, Waldo, has pointed out that, what have you pointed out, Waldo?
Yeah, my desires collide with reality. I desire for that to be so, because I'm a Jim Webb fan. And yet, what she's really saying is, if you aren't going to vote for me, please vote for Jim Webb, which means that people who look to Gail Parker for advice on for whom to vote, but who do not intend to vote for her, will vote for Jim Webb. And I think I might know half of those people.
Let's go back to the phones. Nancy is on the line in Charlottesville. Nancy, go right ahead.
Hi. I'd just like to point out that actually Jim Webb has said a number of times that one of the things that he would do is to get all the surrounding countries that have interest in Iraq involved in discussion of what can go on. It's not that the Democrats have not said they have any plan at all. I'm really kind of confused when people say that Democrats don't plan to do anything differently in Iraq.
You think we're just repeating a talking
plan.
Point?
And we actually know a number of experts in the Middle East, all of whom have said that would be an important first step in a much better direction than where we are now, trying to go it alone.
Nancy, why is it you think that the Republicans haven't done that yet?
Because I think at the moment the government is very ideologically based, and even though they said, you know, they just feel like they are right.
Well, Nancy, to pick up on what you're saying there, I think an important difference, a division to be drawn is Republicans say, what is Democrats' plan? We don't have a plan. We have many different plans because we're not in control of anything at the moment. We don't run the House, we don't run the Senate, and we haven't had an opportunity to put together through traditional democratic processes a plan.
That's different than saying the Democrats don't have a plan.
That's right.
They don't have any power to implement anything they would consider doing.
Right.
Well, I guess when we're talking about that, I guess the real question is does anyone see Ba'athist Syria and fundamentalist Iran as partners for peace?
I think you have to bring the players to the table.
Where's Nixon's secret plan when you need it?
Well, you know, it's okay to laugh about it, but those people are players in the Middle East, whether or not they're going to go for peace or not. But I think if people bring their interests to the table, then that's a start, and it's a lot different from just unilaterally declaring war. And
aren't the great lessons of history
the situation we're in?
I mean, don't the great lessons of history to say if you're making war, you should be also moving forward on a parallel diplomatic track at the same time?
And they also say,
didn't we learn that from every war that we've ever fought?
And we also learned never to fight a land war in Central Asia. The Bush administration isn't real big on the lessons of history, I'm afraid.
And Sean, your thoughts on that?
I thought we beat the Taliban.
I'm sorry, I got distracted. Oh. I have no thoughts. Press on.
This is the night before the election, after all. You are running the campaign.
Nancy, thank you so much for the call. And let's take a quick break here at the bottom of the hour for some local news and a little weather. We're back with Sean Kenny, Waldo Jaquith, and Haw Spencer on Charlottesville right now. We're talking politics with Waldo Jaquith and Sean Kenny. Sean Kenny joining us on the long line, where he is working on a campaign out in Colorado. And Waldo Jaquith, who just tells us that you're going to be blogging the election tomorrow for Washington Monthly.
Yeah.
How does that work, actually?
It's really lame. I have to email my blog answers to them, and they post them, which is less exciting. But yeah, they emailed me and said, you know, you want to make some money and write a few blog entries on election day about the Virginia race. I said, listen, I live in the middle of nowhere, you know, out in Albemarle County. I'm going to be working the polls. We get maybe 300 people voting over the course of the day. You sure you want the insights I have to offer? But they're paying, so I took it.
Sean, let's turn, if we can, turn our attention to the marriage amendment here in Virginia. Just today we learned that the polls are actually showing for the first time that there's a greater opposition to this amendment than there is support. And what's your take on that?
I don't believe it. The marriage amendment's going to pass. I just don't see it any other way. It's kind of interesting because it's one of those things where if it fails in Virginia, it will be the first time that it has failed anywhere in the country. At this point in time, I think we start deceiving ourselves when we think that for one reason or another, and you have to admit that the campaign against the Marshall Newman Amendment has been fairly effective. Read it all; it's not what it says. But at the end of the day, Virginia is going to vote for the amendment.
And why should they?
Why should they?
Yeah, does Virginia have these activist judges that we've been told to look out for when the legislature appoints the judges?
Well, you know, but New Jersey does, and people are going to have that in the back of their minds when they vote. And it doesn't matter if it's New Jersey, Virginia, California, Massachusetts. It's kind of interesting because there's almost two facets to the amendment. There's one that, of course, focuses on those who want to say whether or not marriage is a marriage. And then there's the other end of it where there's really more of a reaction against activist judges. And I think that in the final analysis, when you find out what's the real root of the reason why most people support the Marshall Newman Amendment, you're going to find out that it's activist judges. They don't want judges telling them what is and what is not a marriage. And that is really the heart of this amendment. I don't think it's so much the top as it is what's causing this issue to come to the fore.
So you don't think it's so much anti-gay as it is anti-activist
judges? Absolutely.
Waldo,
that's why you find many people very reluctant to approach the issue from the standpoint of, you know, pro-gay marriage, anti-gay marriage.
Well, do you agree with
much more opposition to activist judges rather than you know, gay marriage or whatever the case may be.
Waldo?
Yes.
Do you agree with this?
No, of course not. I'm a little Democrat. Why would I agree with Sean? I'm just not convinced most people in Virginia care enough about things like activist judges. We don't have any real history in Virginia of any such rulings that rung strongly against the interests of most people in the state. And we've seen a steady trend throughout the polling of support for Amendment Number 1 going down and down and down. So I'm not particularly surprised to see the poll that just came out. And just for the numbers, the Survey USA poll that just came out shows 42% support for the marriage amendment, 36% opposed. So there's this 22%, this big gap in the middle of people who are uncertain. And that gap of uncertainty keeps opening up, which means I have no idea how this is going to sort itself out tomorrow. But I'll be at the polls with literature.
Do you think what we're going to see a lot of people who perhaps just simply don't vote for it either way?
I have no idea. I'd be surprised because it's the sort of thing on which most people seem to have an opinion, and yet there's the 22% undecided
that don't have an opinion.
Yeah,
I would hypothesize, Coy, that the reason why many people may not vote on it is because they're uncomfortable with the topic. I disagree with Waldo, no surprise there, at least on this issue. But, I still think that at the heart of this is really activist judges, not so much gay marriage. And so if you have this wide gap of undecideds in a poll that was, slanted a bit towards the Democrats, I will hypothesize that you're going to find a lot of people just simply not vote on it because it's a distasteful thing to vote on. I don't think anybody really wants to make that kind of decision, and then they will use activist judges as the fulcrum to base their decision upon.
Now, I got to say, last time there was a big concern in Virginia about activist judges, that was what brought about massive resistance. That was after Brown v. Board of Education, too. It's certainly been a while, and I don't think I think if it's a sore topic, it's a sore topic that might favor Democrats, or I should say those who oppose this amendment.
Phone lines are open, folks, at 977-1070. Again, that number is 977-1070. The phone lines are open. Would love to have you join the conversation. We're talking with Sean Kenny of SeanKenney.com, and that's SeanKenney.com, and Waldo Jakewith of Waldo.net, SevilNews.com, and VAPoliticalBlogs.com. Yes, sir.
Now, I got to add something else, which is I assumed from the outset, in fact, I wrote a lengthy blog entry months ago saying this amendment is going to pass. There's no question that this amendment is going to pass and by a wide margin. And I am amazed that it's become as close as it is. And we'll see exactly how close it turns out to be tomorrow. But the Commonwealth Coalition, which is the organization heading up the opposition to this, headed by well-known lobbyist Claire Guthrie-Gastanaga, has done an amazing job. I mean, Sean, I'll be interested to see what the gap is, but what sort of a margin do you expect tomorrow?
About a 10-point margin, Waldo.
Okay.
Do you see a 10-point margin in favor of supporting the amendment?
It'll be a 55-45 kind of decision.
And would you agree that that Claire's team at the Commonwealth Coalition has done a superb job? Because I'm impressed as well, Waldo, that they've done such a good job that they have done here in Virginia at fighting this proposal.
Yeah, I'll definitely give them that. And it wasn't one of these things where they went ahead and said, "Oh, everybody who opposes this amendment is hateful. Everybody who opposes this amendment is a bigot," or, you know, no name calling. Their simple argument was read the amendment. Read the amendment. Most folks will read the amendment and say, you know what, I don't see what you guys see, and I'm going to vote for it anyway. But read the amendment is actually, you know, quite an effective argument. Quite an effective argument. It doesn't, you know, it's an appeal to the intellect. It doesn't appeal to the baser nature of human beings. And, they have done a very effective job, in my opinion. Will it be enough? I don't believe so, but I think they've opposed the amendment in the most civil, disciplined fashion and in an effective fashion that they possibly could have approached it.
Sean, with the few moments that we have left, I want to give you an opportunity here, and Waldo as well. Why is it that folks should go to the polls tomorrow and send George Allen back to Washington, in your view?
Well, I think the number one reason, and I think this would be the reason on most folks' mind, is national security. You know, we're fighting a war on terrorism. There's a situation in Iraq which must be brought to a conclusion that must end in victory, not defeat. You know, these are the things that George Allen's focusing on. These are the things that he's worked on most of his career in the Senate. And you know, in the end, at the end of the day, despite all the talk about George Allen's character, despite all the talk about you know, Jim Webb's character, at the end of the day, the real issues that face us as a nation, George Allen has solutions, Jim Webb does not. And I think at the very final analysis, that's what's at stake. And Virginians have a choice. Do we go with leadership that wants to see victory in Iraq and prosecute the war on terrorism to a conclusion that benefits the United States? Or do we go with the cut and run philosophy? Do we retreat from Iraq? Do we pull back on the war on terror? Do we go with the options of talks and negotiations, which did not serve us for 12 years? What is the Democratic plan? We have a clear plan of action versus a nebulous plan of several actions that now have not coalesced. I respect Jim Webb as a war hero. I respect him as a candidate. You know, I don't think his campaign has done the most marvelous job of promoting him, but I just don't think he's the right person to lead us into the 21st century. George Allen is.
Sean Kenny of SeanKenny.com and Waldo Jaquith, why should folks Virginians go to the polls tomorrow and not send George Allen back, but Jim Webb instead?
For some of the same reasons, frankly. George Allen has absolutely no military experience. During the Vietnam War, when he was, I guess, in his early 20s, he was working on a dude ranch while simultaneously Jim Webb was fighting the war in Vietnam. And Jim Webb's career went higher and higher until he wound up as Secretary of the Navy. This is a guy with the highest level of military experience to know how to handle things like the situation in Iraq. Secondly, we already have a Secretary of the Navy representing us in the U.S. Senate in the form of Republican Senator John Warner, who I think does a superb job representing Virginia. And if we want to keep the bases down in Oceania, if we want to keep the naval industry alive and well down in the Tidewater area, I can't think of anything much better than having not one but two former Secretaries of the Navy representing Virginia in the U.S. Senate.
Sean Kenny, any final thoughts?
You know, get out and vote, guys. It's a close election. Democrat or Republican, it's a civic duty. You know, that's what makes America great, and it's a freedom that many people across the world don't enjoy. So this is an important election. Get out there and make it happen.
And Sean, as I'll say this to the extent to which I'm able to say it honestly, good luck tomorrow. That is, obviously, I'm no fan of Marilyn Musgrave, but it's a certainly a high profile race, and it's certainly a great opportunity for you. So I'll certainly be following that tomorrow.
Absolutely. And whether it's a Republican or Democrat, you are a Virginian who has stepped forward to make democracy work. And so we certainly applaud you for that.
I'm a Virginian stuck in Colorado who's looking very much forward to returning to the Commonwealth.
It's a part of the country where people come by their cowboy hats honestly.
Yeah. Right.
Sean, thanks so much.
All right. Thank you.
Take care. That's Sean Kenny of SeanKenny.com, SeanKenney.com, and Waldo Jaquith of Waldo.net, SevilleNews.com, and VAPoliticalBlogs.com. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.